And like suppose like Mrityunjaya mantra we say, which is from Veda, extract from the Rudra Prashna. There's something called Rudram, Namakam, wherein you bow to. There's a concept of Lord is very beautifully brought out. Look at everything as Ishwara, the Lord, and bow to everything as the manifestation of the Lord. And wherein you offer your prostrations to the Lord. So that's why the mantra ends with the Namaha. Oh Namaste Rudra Manyava Uto Taishave Namaha Namaste Rudra Namaste Astu Dhanvane Bahubhya Mutate Namaha Ya Taishu Shivatama Shivam Babhuvat Te Dhanuhu. We have this, everything comes Namaha 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 Namaha. So it's called Namakam. Mantras, the section of mantras consisting of the word Namaha, ending with Namaha, is called Namakam. So Namakam is very important. When we do Abhishekam for Shivaji in the month, we chant it. Because offering, saying the word, when you say Namaha, every time you say Namaha, because you try to, this effort on your part to resolve identity with the totality is revealed, expressed. Or a prayer that, okay, let me, please bless me with the knowledge, okay, which will really help me, you know, understand myself being non-separate from you, the Lord. That's the actual solution for all your problems, the so-called problems. So Namakam is very important. And there, in the Rudra Prashna, which is called as Namakam, there we have this particular mantra called Mrityunjaya Mantraha. Is a one word, Rama is a mantra, Krishna is a mantra. Okay. And then here, when you say Ganesha is a mantra, so like that, but here it's a long sentence, a mantra consisting of two sentences, which is also said to be a mantra, because it protects the one who recites it. That's why your mantra itself is said to be Mananat Trayate Iti Mantraha. If you do the mananam, if you repeat it mentally with a focused attention, being focused, if you repeat it, it has the capacity to protect you. That's why it's called mananam. Mananat trayate. Not ekasma, you know, ekavara kathanena trayate. If you say once, it doesn't protect you. Okay. To do the mananam of a mantra, mananam means to be focused in that mantra, you have to repeat it, repeat it, repeat it, repeat it, and be focused. That is called mananam. That mananat trayate. Then it has the capacity to protect you. That's what it's called mantra. The very word mantra means, that's the meaning. So it can be anything. And that we say, okay, Mrityunjaya mantra is there. There's no bija mantra, nothing. It's highly, highly meaningful, rich mantra, Mrityunjaya mantra. And we take it from that Namakam and the Rudra, Shudra Prashna. We call it Mrityunjaya mantra. Why we call it Mrityunjaya mantra? People think it's for simply recovering from physical illness in the present life. It is chanted for recovering from physical illness also. But ultimately the mantra chanting is for the well-being of the, the future life of the person. That's why even Mrityunjaya means Mrityum Mrityuhu Ukarantaha Pullingaha Mrityu Shabdaha. Because you are learning Sanskrit. Aren't you? Ukarantaha pullingaha mrityu shabdaha tasya dvitiyayam vibhaktau mrityum iti ekavachane mrityum iti rupam mrityum. Okay, second case, objective. So jayaha. Jayaha literally is a noun, victory. Okay, but it says mrityum jayaha, then make the sandhi, mrityum jayaha. So when you, as a corporate, what does it mean? The one who is, it will also say the victory and mrityum, okay? The one who is victorious over death is mrityum jayaha. So being victorious over death means is what? Being free from time limitation. So who is Mrityunjaya? Who is the one who is victorious over death? Who is free from time limitation? Ishwara, the Lord, Bhagavan, the whole, Brahman. Isn't it? So invoke, because you have, when you invoke the grace of the Lord, then you can't really, it's not Parambrahma, it is Ishwara, the Lord. Understand? Lord, when you say Lord, as the two causes of the universe. Okay. So Mrityunjaya means the Lord who is free from time limitation, who is victorious over death. That means the Lord being invoked as the timeless reality, a Lord being invoked as the one who is free from death, who is the immortal. This is the Mrityunjaya mantra. So there, I mean, you say this mantra, but there it has both worship and prayer. The mantra has Om Trimbakai Yajamahe Sugandhim Pushtivardhanam. First sentence is over there. It's a complete sentence. So it's not one word. Mantra consists of two, three sentences. But sometimes you have to supply words to make it, the meaning complete. And we always have the Bhashyam Shailacharya to understand this completely. Om Trimbakai Yajamahe Sugandhim Pushtivardhanam. The second sentence begins Urvarukamiva Bandhanan Mrityor Mukshiyamamrutaat. The second sentence, there's a prayer. The first sentence, we take it as worship. First sentence stands for worship. Second sentence stands for prayer, where you reveal, express your prayer. You know what worship is. I've been talking to you many times. So one of the forms of worship is praising the Lord. One of the forms of worship. So then how do you worship there? You praise the Lord. How do you praise? Not simply, you don't flatter the Lord. You talk about the true facts of the Lord, even though you haven't understood. Because Upanishad Mantra Drashtaraha, they know the truth of the Lord. Okay? Because we don't know that. How can we praise the Lord when we do not know who exactly the Lord is, how exactly the Lord is? If you know the concept of Lord very clearly, then have understood it, then you can praise. So these are the words from the men of vision, the rishis. They say, Yajamahe. Okay, Yajdat, Yaj means to worship. It is Atmane Padam. So it is a Yajamahe, Yajate, Yajete, Yajante, Yajase, Yajete, Yajadve, Yaje, Yajavahe, Yajamahe. I think you must have covered Atmane Padam, simple present tense words. Okay, lung. Okay, said lut. Not dead? Okay, doesn't matter. Anyway, you know, we learn those things simply, it's very simple. Yajamahe. Yajamahe, we say worship, we worship. And you say, okay, we don't need to say we worship. Worship means it's implied. We worship. Who else worships? So we worship. It's a plural. No. First person, plural, present tense, verb. So, yajamahe. We worship. Then whenever you see any poetry, a person, the shloka, a mantra, you search for the verb. Take the verb first. Then you get the, you can ask immediately, you can get the, you can make a question. Worship. Okay, it's understood. We worship. We worship whom? The Lord. Okay, well, that's Bhagavantam Aishwaram Vayam Yajamahe. Vayam Bhagavantam Aishwaram Yajamahe. But which sort of Bhagavantam? Kidrusham Bhagavantam Yajamahe. Kidrushaha Bhagavan. Kidrusham Bhagavantam Aishwaram Yajamahe. Which Bhagavan do we worship? Which Lord do we worship? Not the Lord as we think or I think or somebody else thinks. What actually what Bhagavan is really speaking. Okay, then we say Tryambakam Vayam Tryambakam Yajamahe. We worship the Lord who is Tryambakaha. Who is Tryambakaha? How Tryambaka is? Again we have two more adjectives. Sugandhihi, who is also Pushtivardhanaha. Three words. You can take one word as a noun, other two words as adjectives. Or you can take all the three words as adjectives for Ishwaraha or Bhagavan. Okay, Vayam Tryambakam. Okay, Vayam Tryambakam Sugandhim Pushtivardhanam Ishwaram or Bhagavantam Yajamahe. I can say that. For understanding. This is complete now. Then you have to see the meaning of every word. When you chant a mantra, if you know the meaning, then you can be focused. Then why? Okay, Tryambakaha is a compound word. So, Tri plus Ambakaha. Then Tri Ambakaha, E, Kara, Kara, Yan Sandhi comes, Iko Yanachi. So, because Tryambakaha. Tryambaka. I don't know, we're boring you with so many grammatical aspects. Tryambakaha. Then how do you get that word three? How what is three? Three means English three. Three. So Tryambakam means I. So Trini Ambakani Yasya Saha Tryambakaha. The one who has three eyes. Is Tryambakaha. So three-eyed. How do you say Lord is three-eyed? We don't know even one-eyed Lord. See, how do you know three-eyed Lord? Again, our understanding of the word eye is very funny, isn't it? For me, eye is only this. We immediately put this and all that. So here we have to see, because so the Lord is the whole samagram jagat no, characharam Characharaha and Characharam Chetana Chetanam Samagram Jagat is Bhagavan Ishwaraha. Bhagavan is the whole. I always add the word universal natural law and order. Perfect, complete order. Bhagavan. Then, so you want to personify that Lord. The whole is Bhagavan. Then you have to say, you want to just say praise because you don't want words. So, okay, say three sources of light without which these eyes cannot see anything. Okay, they are three sources of light looked upon as three eyes of the Lord. Mainly sun, moon, fire. Sun stands for all the stars. Okay, Suryaha, Chandraha, Agnihi. These three sources of light, because any light basically is self-luminous, self-revealing, self-effulgent, because a light does not depend upon another light to be brought to light. You don't require another light. So light is self-luminous. So Bhagavan absolutely, intrinsically, ultimately being self-revealing, is of the nature of knowledge. Okay, so we say Bhagavan the whole is endowed with three sources of light as three eyes. So Tryambakaha. So him. So akarantaha pullingaha Tryambaka shabdaha tasya dvitiyayam vibhakto Tryambakam ekavachane Tryambakam iti rupam. Tryambakam Yajamahe. Then you have the other word sugandhi. Sushtu gandha yasya saha sugandhi. Su, the su itself means good, auspicious, nice. That's why the word su added to su kanya, su mati, su mana, su cheta, su chitta. Now, sugandha. Like the su goes, su prabhat. The su means stands for good and auspicious and desirable, pleasant things. So sugandha. Gandha itself means smell. But sugandha, durgandha we can say. But sugandha, and one who is fragrant. The fragrance is sugandha. Sugandhi, sugandhi, one who is with that sugandha is sugandhi. The person here, one who is endowed with, one who is with the fragrant is sugandhi. So again, ikarantha pullingha sugandhi shabdha tasya dvitiyayam vibhakto ekavachane sugandhim iti rupam. Understand? Yes, I'm just saying because yeah, that okay. Let me tell you very simplest kindergarten words. Okay, let me tell you. That's why I'm using all this. Sugandhim. So that means we worship the Lord, the whole, who is another three eye, three sources of light as three eyes, and who is Sugandhi? Lord is fragrant or what? So again, it implies something differently, something else. So I worship God who is fragrant. That means what? So here again, just as the fragrance has the capacity to draw your mind through the nose towards itself, anything which draws your attention, you know, is always used to mean the Lord. Understand? Anything which draws your mind towards itself is always used as a symbol of the Lord or something which is connected to the Lord. Why? Because see, the form also, look at the form through the eyes. If we are blind, you cannot really see anything. Understand? But if you are not blind, then you can see any form. Understand? So that's why the eye is called Nayanam. No, any eye is called. I has so many chakshu, akshi. No, we have so many words to mean I. But one word is nayanam, lochanam, nayanam. We have so many words. And why it called nayanam? Manaha nayati iti nayanam. If you don't see, however beautiful the object is, it cannot attract your mind, take your mind away. That because of which a mind can be grabbed away towards an object which is pursued through, no? Is said to be nayanam. Nayati manaha iti nayanam. Similarly, so anything which attracts your mind towards itself is what? No? The fragrance. So here, what is that which attracts all the minds towards itself? What is it which is really desirable for all the minds, always, everywhere? Sarvada, sada, sarvatra, sarvehi, okay, yet, okay, prathyate. What is it which is sought after by all the people, everywhere? Okay. That is sukham, nitya nirantara sukham. Nitya nirantara sukham is what? Everlasting joy, happiness. So here sugandh, so because again, what is that happiness? We shastras talk about the limitlessness. Limitlessness, in fact, is happiness. Understand? So we say, being sorrowful is being unhappy. Understand? So being unhappy means being limited, being bound. So being limitless is being limited is being sorrowful. Being sorrowful is being unhappy. So being limitless is being happy. Being sorrowless is being happy. So being happy is happiness. Therefore, it's like mathematics. Step 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm saying limitlessness is equal to happiness. What is happiness? That is the swarupam of the reality, the truth. And it has to be explained actually how consciousness is free from the limitations. I tried to do a little bit when I did Ganapati Atrasesha Upanishad. I tried to do a little bit because of short time. You can't do much of unfold because of the short time. I tried to say that. It's just purely understanding what consciousness is, then how consciousness is, understanding consciousness in terms of its nature as limitlessness. So when he says Sugandhi, so Lord absolutely is the nature of limitlessness, that is happiness, which is, you know, desirable always for all the people everywhere. Therefore, happiness attracts all the minds. This is where we say Sugandhim, when you say we worship the Lord who is of the nature of limitlessness or happiness, which attracts all the minds. Okay, which is desirable for all the mind, like the fragrance. Okay, we simply say they will like the fragrance. We like this. All the fragrance is not desirable for everybody always. Okay, well, say I'm going to go via Gulf country. The perfumes they use, my God, I get headache. I don't like it. They may call it fragrant, understand? They may call it, so I'm saying, not just for everybody, but here generally, it is, we talk about this. So, the happiness. Sugandhi implies the Lord who is of the nature of limitless, everlasting happiness. Just very swarupam. When you say Vesurupam, it is eternal. It doesn't come and go. Which comes and goes is a pleasure. Okay, different degrees of pleasures, Shastras talk about. Which any pleasure, any amount of pleasure can come, stay for some time and go away. But happiness cannot go because it does not come. Doesn't happen. Happiness is something which is beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly there as the very intrinsic nature of reality in the form of limitlessness. Once discovered, it is there for, it remains undiscovered, or once discovered, it is there forever. You can never miss it. That's why Sugandhi, when you say if you worship the Lord who is of the nature of happiness. Sugandhi. Then Pushti Vardhanaha. Pushtihi means health. It is Ikaranta Strilinga Shabdaha. Pushtihi. Okay. And but remove the, for the sake of making a compound, remove the Visarga, then Pushti Vardhanaha. Vardhanaha means one who causes growth, literally speaking. But here we have to say together as Pushti Vardhanaha, one who nourishes. One who governs the nourishment, the function of nourishment, nourishing, is Pushti Vardhanaha. How does the Lord nourishes all the beings? Who does the Lord nourish? When you say the Lord is the very cause, He remains pervading everything. Through pervasiveness, as the very existence, as the very existence sustains all the beings, like clay sustaining the pot. If we remove the clay, there is no pot. If we remove the gold, there is no ornament. What is it which sustains the very form and name, the nama rupa, called ornament, is gold. What is it which sustains the very nama rupa, the pot, is the clay. So, what is it which sustains is the very existence where the nama rupa exist, the located locus. So, we say like that, Lord, as the very existence, as the very truth, as the very reality, is there as the very existence of everything, all the beings. All the beings, all that is existent here. And therefore, it is the Lord who is there as the very nutrients in all the nutritious things which really, you know, nourishes, remaining as the very nutrients which nourishes all the beings. Is Pushtivardhanaha. Because when you say truth of yourself is the reality, consciousness, the truth of every part of your body is consciousness, the truth of every cell of your body is consciousness. Okay, everything is reduced and reduced and reduced and reduced. Ultimately, the truth of everything is consciousness. But consciousness being the truth of everything else cannot be understood. Okay, but understand, so consciousness as the truth of mind, consciousness can be understood as consciousness only as the truth of the mind. Though it is the truth of everything else, it is not available for recognition anywhere else. Understand? So understand here, understand that consciousness, which is the truth of the mind, is the truth of everything else. That's how we have to understand. It's the only way. This is what sampradaya is very important. So, that's why, what is the truth of the sun? Truth means the existence. Okay, the existence. The reality of the sun is the same consciousness. Existence of any planet is the same consciousness. Existence in any constellation is the consciousness. Existence of anything and everything, the whole is consciousness. So, when you say that sun, there is a solar energy, the plant energy, the food energy, and the energy which is there in the whole system, in all the beings, all this, the entire physiological, psychological, you know, physical, the orders, the system is nothing but same consciousness. So what is it which really nourishes all the beings? Absolutely, the same Ishvara, the same truth of the Lord, the whole, is there as the very nutrients. Remaining as the nutrient which nourishes all the beings is the Lord. So Pushtivardhanaha is complete. When you say this, anything you eat becomes cleansed. Because it's you are with the very, very subtle truth. All the every word says a fact in Bhagavan. There's no flattery here. There's no flat. Om. We begin a mantra with Om because it's auspicious utterance. It's considered auspicious because it's a sound symbol of the Lord the whole. Om Trimbakai Yajamahe Sugandhim Pushtivardhanam. So now we can make the complete sentence. We worship the Lord, who is Lord the whole, who is endowed with three sources of light as the eyes, and who is of the nature of happiness, which attracts all the minds towards itself. Okay, and one who nourishes all the beings, remaining as the very existence, and meaning as very nutrients. That's the meaning. This is three words. By saying three words about the Lord, the Lord is praised. Talking about how the Lord is praising the Lord. Glorifying the Lord. Because it's really glory, vibhuti, isn't it? Then comes the prarthana, then comes the prayer. When you praise, we always have something to ask. Pushti urvarukamiva bandhanan mrityor mukshiyamamrutaat. So again, I told you already, you have to search for the verb. Mukshiya is imperative, second person. Okay? Mukshiya, please do free. Please do release. Please do relieve. Home, mom. Okay, mom. What is it, mom? Asmat shabdaha. Okay, dakarantaha. Understand? And all telling us the same. Asmat shabdaha. Tasya dvitiyayam vibhaktau ekavachane mom atava ma iti rupam. You can say mom or ma. Me. Mrityor mukshiya. Mom, you can say that. Or another word, ma amrtat. Okay. So mukshiya, let's take the word first, mukshiya. Please do release. Because I'm caught up now somewhere. So do please release. Please free me. Free me. From what? Bandhanat. Where the Panchami comes, you can always ask from what? Bandhanat. Bandhanam, bandhanam, bandhanena, bandhanaya, bandhanat. Okay? It's a gerund, but still you can say bondage, binding. Okay? It's bandhanam. So bandhanat mukshiya. Freedom is always from bondage. Isn't it? Something which ties you. So, bandhanam of what? Bondage of what is it which really binds you? What binds me? Anything which makes you feel limited is bondage. Anything which makes you feel insecure binds you. Anything which makes you feel small binds you, really speaking. So here actually, bandhanat mukshiya, because of sandhina, bandhanan mukshiya, because anyway, the soft consonant followed by a nasal should become a nasal of its own. Bandhanat mukshiya, bandhanan mukshiya. Release me from bondage. Of mrityoho. Mrityoho comes, it is the ukarantaha, pullingaha, mrityushabdaha, tasya, shashtyam, vibhaktau, mrityoho, iti ekavachane, mrityoho, iti rupo. Okay, sixth case, right, possessive case, genitive. So, mrityoho bandhanan, bondage of mrityuho. Here, mrityuho means the Lord Yamaha, but still, who is the Lord Yamaha? The Kalaha, time. Time is personified as Lord Yamaha, time factor. Because we cannot postpone, preordained. That is why mrityoho bandhanan mukshya. Please do release me from the bondage of the time limitation. Please release, because I feel I am time wise limited. I am subject to time. This notion that I am bound by time, I am subject to time, I am time bound, is a notion I have about myself. Why? Because I identify myself with the body which has time limitation. How it is time limitation? There was a time this body wasn't there. There will not be definitely a time with this which the body will not be there. The body will not be there as the same body. It was not there as before. So it has date of birth and date of death. And in between also it undergoes a lot of changes. So this time bound, like being time bound, is the nature of the, is the attribute of the body. It's a sharira dharmaha, superimposed upon me. So I think, okay, I am subject to time. Understand? So, so this notion binds me. What is it actually binds me? Is the notion which binds me. Notion is the bondage there. So I think my being subject to time is being limited, and which is bondage. So please release me from the bondage of death. That means, literally speaking, please free me from the notion, bondage of, the notion of being subject to, myself be subject to time. You don't even know that you have a notion, you see, then you can't ask, say that, please free me from the notion that I have about myself. Or please correct my notion, you can't ask. So just say, please free me from the bondage of death. So how can you be free? So being free from bondage of death means what? Being immortal, becoming immortal. So being or becoming free from the bondage of death is becoming free from mortality. Becoming free from mortality is, understanding the self being already immortal. So understanding self being immortal is becoming free from mortality. Not that we can make the body survive forever. People mistake this, and when people chant it mentally, they feel, I can live for long if I chant this mantra. Nobody can stop physical death, isn't it? So in fact, this mantra is recited for attainment of immortality. Or if one wants to become immortal, chant the Mrityunjaya mantra. Then you become immortal. So what is becoming immortal? Understanding the self being immortal is attaining immortality. Becoming free from mortality. That means, so please free me from the bondage of death means, please free me, from being immortal. Please free me from being a mortal. How can you be free from being a mortal? Only by understanding the self being immortal. That means what you need is the knowledge of the self. Therefore, when you say mrityor mukshiya, urvarukamiva bandhanan mrityor mukshiya mamdataate, mrityoho bandhanan mukshiya is the prayer. Inverted commas. Mrityoho bandhanan mukshiya, mrityoho bandhanat mukshiya, mrityoho bandhanat mukshiya, mrityoho bandhanat mukshiya. It's a prayer. So that means you imply so many things. Number one, you say, please bless me with the knowledge of this self. Thereby, I'll understand self being immortal. Thereby, okay, I'll attain immortality. That's the only way I can be free from, okay. You can never become free from time limitation. You have to understanding the self being free from time limitation is becoming free from being bound by time. Becoming free from time limitation. Understanding the timelessness of the self is becoming free from time limitation. So you ask for the knowledge of the self being timeless, or timelessness being the nature of the self. That means you need to understand the self. Not simply understanding, you have to ascertain the ascertain the nature of the self. How can you ascertain the nature of the self? You have to understand the self, dwell upon the nature of the self. Then you can ascertain the nature of the self. So to understand, to dwell upon the nature of the self, then ascertain the nature of the self, I need to be what? I need to be contemplative. I need to have contemplative disposition. So then that mrityor mukshi yamamrita ate implies one sentence. First prayer is, please bless me with the knowledge of self. Okay? Please bless me with the self knowledge of self being, okay, free from time limitation. Then next prayer is, that means, please bless me with the contemplative disposition of the mind without which, okay, ascertained vision of ascertained nature of reality and nature of the self is not possible. That prayer also is implied. How many prayers are implied in one mantra? Mrityor mukshi yamamrita ate. Prayer 1, prayer 2. What do the next request is? Please bless me with the contemplative disposition which is very much required, without which ascertained knowledge of the self, nature of the self is not possible. Then you say, so in order to have the contemplative disposition, how should you be? You should have a passion only for knowledge of the self. That doesn't mean you shouldn't have desire for anything else. Understand? Nowhere you are asked not to fulfill your natural biological requirements and needs. That means being your priority, one should be very clear about the end and means, etc. That's what is implied here. So one should be, he says, if you have to have passion, great, tira icha, passion for knowledge of the self must be there. Unless you ask for it, I want 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 it, you won't give it. You won't get it. Because it shows how eager you are. How serious you are, how sincere you are, how inquisitive. It shows the thirst, how thirsty you are. If you ask, Anne, would you please get me a cup of water? And I forget it. Please, I want some water. Yeah. I'm very thirsty. Then she'll immediately run and get it. I'm not thirsty. There's difference, you see. And here also, that sort of passion, the knowledge, the thirst for knowledge is possible only if you know, because this, all my problems resolve only in this knowledge. Okay? I had to become free from, I attain immortality by understanding the self being immortal, the self being free from time limitation, for which I need to ascertain vision of Asatya Najatir, nature of this self. For which I need to be, need to contemplate upon the nature of the self, for which I need to have contemplative disposition. So please bless with the contemplative disposition. But in order to have that contemplative disposition again, understand, disposition, I should have that urge, you know. I should have passion for knowledge. I'm highly passionate for knowledge. That means I should be dispassionate towards everything else. I don't say you should have to detach yourself from everything. You don't need to detach anywhere. The word detachment, I tell you, really confuses people. It's a nice word, okay? But still, detach means people think, because people, attachment means sitting like this is attachment, being aware of this is detachment. That's what people think. It is purely, it implies a cognitive change. It implies understanding born of cognition. Like a maturity. If you are very clear, what I want is this, and this freedom from all limitations, and this freedom is something to be discovered, and so then discovery is the only way, knowledge is the only means for this, understand, this freedom. I have to know what freedom is, but what is being free from limitations is. So discovering what is being free from limitations is discovering what is being limitless. What is limitlessness? In the sense of what is happiness is. So I need to discover. That means I need to know. So knowledge is the only means for that. Therefore, anything other than knowledge of what happiness is will not help me. Help me attain happiness. This is what is understanding. Understand the fact. Nothing, no achievement, no karma phala will help me attain happiness. Because happiness is something to be known, understood, and discovered. So knowledge alone will help me, help me discover happiness. Knowledge alone will pave way for happiness. So when I know this, I know the value of knowledge, I know the limitations of everything else, that they cannot give me what I really seek, what I really want. They will not remove my urge. Because they cannot. Because no, I know their limitations. So this is what we say, please bless me. One has to really understand the limitations of everything and anything in the world, that they cannot really help attain happiness. The knowledge alone will help them pay way for happiness. Where happiness is to be known. When they understand this, they know the value of knowledge, they know the limitations of everything else. And the mind, the attention just turns. It is what I mean by the word becoming introvert. This is what is change, born of cognition. This understanding brings about the change, that you turn. That means what? You become dispassionate towards other things because you know the limitations, they cannot give you what you want. And you become passionate towards knowledge because you know knowledge alone will free you. It's typically like a child growing out of desire for the toys which the child has been enjoying through for a few years, and suddenly having a desire for something more interesting. until the child comes to know something very interesting. The child is very pleased with the small toys. You give your son now all the toys you had bought when he was 5-6 years old. Now he'll say, "Mom, are you mad or what? You want me to play with this?" He'll say that. Why? Because he's very intelligent now. This is what is growing out of desire for things. You grow out of desire for things. You don't dislike things. You don't hate things. You don't feel frustrated about things. But you grow out of desire for things when you know their limitations that they cannot give you. They're no more interesting. You're not any more interested in them because they don't please you anymore. This is what is growing out of desire for things. This is what is becoming dispassionate. Okay? So the next prayer number 3. Mrityor mukshiyamamrutaat. What's next prayer? Oh Lord, please bless me. Discover dispassion by helping me understand, making me see the limitations of other things, that they cannot really free me from bondage. Thereby, please bless me with a commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. That is also implied. Mrityor mukshiyamamrutaat. Number 4. So becoming dispassionate, okay, discovering dispassion implies one becoming mature. Understand? Therefore, how can one become mature? By becoming dispassionate. How can I become dispassionate? By discovering limitations of everything else. So, the becoming mature, thereby becoming dispassionate, knowing limitations, is implied by mention of the one word, urvarukam iva. Now, iva means like, just as. When you say something, compare something, you say like that. It's something like that. Now, iva. Suppose I say, and Mahalakshmi iva asti. Mahalakshmi iva bhasate, I say. And shines like Mahalakshmi. If I say that, iva, and I can only say that. Something you compare, similar to say. So here, urvarukam, you wonder one word is there, you have to supply a lot of words to understand the mantra correctly. Urvarukam means a melon, watermelon. You call it pond melon also. He said he couldn't find the word pond, okay? I don't know how much he once used it. The watermelon. See, the melon is such a big fruit, heavy fruit, full of water. And the creeper is very thin. Thin creeper, you know, containing a heavy fruit. Very, you know. See, really, no melon can hang like this. It has to be on the floor. And then the creeper will break, it will die. So watermelon has to helplessly crawl, okay? Somewhere it has to be. It can't lean on anything because the fruits are very heavy. It can never lean on any other support. It has to crawl on the floor because of the heaviness of fruit. So the watermelon, the stalk of the watermelon, you know, is always attached to the creeper. But what happens when the melon becomes ripe, it grows and grows and grows big and becomes ripe, the stalk will be there, the creeper will be there, but the, you know,
it's so many
times. Okay, the watermelon, when it becomes ripe, the stalk will be there, but the fruit detaches itself from the stalk. The fruit will be there, the fruit detaches from the stalk. It is really, it's a wonderful sight to see. I want to go and see. I did try. No, it's very difficult. But it all implies how, with the, if you have more and more of inner leisure, you can observe then the more you observe, the more you can learn. So it shows the rishis' minds. The rishis must have been highly, highly anxiety-free, relaxed minds, so that they could observe, they could learn also. That's why they could use this as Urvarukam Iva as an example.
We're popular.
Maybe they call us from Kuwait. They want to know what time they are arriving. That's okay. Let them call again. So Urvarukam Iva. So just as the melon, when it becomes ripe, until it becomes ripe, it's attached. That means, okay, until you become mature, you are immature. As long as you are immature, you are highly passionate. You have passion for everything else. Because you seek, you're attached to things. But once you become mature, you become dispassionate. Understand? So similarly, he says, just as the melon, which remains attached to its stalk until it becomes ripe, but when it becomes ripe, it detaches itself from the stalk. Similarly, make me mature by helping me understand the limitations of things that they cannot bless me with in moksha. Help me understand moksha. Thereby, help me discover dispassion. Okay, there's no way of becoming dispassionate without becoming mature. Okay, being dispassionate implies being mature. Being mature implies understanding of the limitations of things that they cannot really give you what you seek in life. Ultimately seek in life. Shastra does not say you should not eat, you should not drink, don't go there, don't go here, do this. Doesn't say all those things. Eat your food, you have to appease only your hunger. Drink water to quench your thirst. Have an infrastructure to live your life. Earn money to live, to have pleasures. Have everything. But don't seek happiness all everywhere, anywhere. You need to have money, you need to have pleasures, you need to have everything. Okay? But these are all for to fulfill your other requirements. But for happiness, also also you need to have jnanam for happiness. There's a difference in the saying, you see. Shastra does not say you should not pursue all those things. So this is the third prayers are no many things. Mrityor mukshiya. Okay, mrityoho bandhanan mukshiya is the third prayer. So much is implied there. Urvarukamiva bandhanan mrityor mukshiya. So mom is understood. You can say ma. Also negative particle, you see. To say na gacchati, na gacchati does not go. But don't go, to say imperative. So you can't say na gacha, ma gacha. It said ma amritat mukshiya. Don't free me from immortality, but free me from mortality. By saying this, the same prayer is expressed two times. Anything which is repeated, it is for emphasis. Okay, to make you point. Don't free me from immortality means, please free me from mortality. How? By blessing me with the knowledge. For that knowledge, making me contemplative, in order to become contemplative, help me discover dispassion, for which you should make me mature, help me understand the limitations of everything, like the Urvarukam, help me discover dispassion, make me mature and discover dispassion. This is a prayer. Okay? This is a mantra. It's not one, it's not like Rama, Rama. That's also a mantra. This is also a mantra. That Rama is for contemplation. There's no prayer there. Because when you are helpless, you know you want to be contemplative, you want to learn, you know now, being exposed to Shastra, you understand so many things, but still the pratibandhas are so many, the obstacles are so many that they stop you. What will you do? You need to really, then, okay, do this prayer. Repeat this mantra. Mrityor mukshiyamamrata ate urvarukamiva bandhanan. 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 Mrityor mukshiyamamrata ate. Whether you do it mentally, whether you do it orally, still it's a karma. Kayakamba karma, vachikamba karma, uttamanasamba karma, still it is karma, you should produce a result. Repeat and repeat and repeat, mind goes elsewhere, but repeat. Some one day it has to, you have to. How it's going to work, you'll see. Somebody find a teacher to get, or you find time to get to know. Something, and the clarity and the knowledge, it work. It's a mantra. Okay, then you have everything. Okay, just say Ramanama, which really talks about the one nature of, one aspect of reality. How reality is self-existent. You say Rama, Rama. That is more contemplative. That's more for contemplation. Just seeing the meaning of the word. Okay, and being with that. Even if you don't know, you are not contemplative. Repeating it will take you to contemplation. That's also mantra. This is also mantra. This is Mrityunjaya mantra. So it is Veda mantra. So it is a worship, it's a prayer. When you chant there, as a worship, and you say Bhagavan is a Pushti Vardhanaha, so here it is said, the ultimate purpose of this mantra is, okay, to be blessed by knowledge and moksha, to be blessed with knowledge and moksha. But the byproduct, okay, is a physical well-being and emotional well-being. It's also there, assured. It's a good mantra, isn't it? An hour or 3 days. Mm-hmm. So shall we chant Mrityunjaya mantra? 9 times? You know the meaning? You want to chant after me? Om. Trimbakai Ajamahe.
Trimbakai Ajamahe.
Trimbakai ajamahe. Sugandhim pushtivardhanam. Urvarukamiva bandhanan. Mrityor. Mukshiya. Mamrita ate. Excellent, Dad. Mamrita ate. Urvarukamiva bandhanan. ಉರ್ವಾರುಕಮೇವ ಬಂಧನಾನ್ ಉರ್ವಾರುಕಮೇವ ಬಂಧನಾನ್ ಮೃತ್ಯೋರ್ 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 ಮೃತ್ಯೋರ್ಮುಕ್ಷೀಯ 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 ಮಾಮೃತಾತ್ 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 ಉರ್ವಾರುಕಮೇವ ಬಂಧನಾನ್ ಮೃತ್ಯೋರ್ ಉರ್ವಾರುಕಮೇವ ಬಂಧನಾನ್ ಮೃತ್ಯೋರ್ಮುಕ್ಷೀಯ ಮಾಮೃತಾತ್ ಮಾಮೃತಾತ್ ಉರ್ವಾರುಕಮೇವ ಬಂಧನಾನ್ ಮೃತ್ಯೋರ್ಮುಕ್ಷೀಯ ಮಾಮೃತಾತ್ ಮುಕ್ಷೀಯ ಮಾಮೃತಾತ್ ಉರ್ವಾರುಕಮೇವ ಮೃತ್ಯೋರ್ಮುಕ್ಷೀಯ ಮಾಮೃತಾತ್ ಓಂ ತ್ರ್ಯಂಬಕೈ ಯಜಾಮಹೇ ಸುಗಂಧಿಂ ಪುಷ್ಟಿವರ್ಧನಂ ಉರ್ವಾರುಕಮಿವ ಬಂಧನಾನ್ ಮೃತ್ಯೋರ್ಮುಕ್ಷೀಯ ಮಾಮೃತಾತ್ ಚಾಂಟ್ ಟುಗೆದರ್ ತ್ರ್ಯಂಬಕೈಯ ಜಾಮಹೇ ಸುಗಂಧಿಂ ಪುಷ್ಟಿವರ್ಧನಂ ಉರ್ವಾರುಕಮಿವ ಬಂಧನಾನ್ ಮೃತ್ಯೋರ್ಮುಕ್ಷೀಯ ಮಾಮೃತಾತ್ ಓಂ ತ್ರ್ಯಂಬಕೈಯ ಜಾಮಹೇ ಸುಗಂಧಿಂ ಪುಷ್ಟಿವರ್ಧನಂ ಉರ್ವಾರುಕಮಿವ ಬಂಧನಾನ್ ಮೃತ್ಯೋರ್ಮುಕ್ಷೀಯ ಮಾಮೃತಾತ್ ಓಂ ತ್ರ್ಯಂಬಕೈಯ ಜಾಮಹೇ ಸುಗಂಧಿಂ ಪುಷ್ಟಿವರ್ಧನಂ ಉರ್ವಾರುಕಮಿವ ಬಂಧನಾನ್ ಮೃತ್ಯೋರ್ಮುಕ್ಷೀಯ ಮಾಮೃತಾತ್ ಓಂ ತ್ರ್ಯಂಬಕೈಯ ಜಾಮಹೇ ಸುಗಂಧಿಂ ಪುಷ್ಟಿವರ್ಧನಂ ಉರ್ವಾರುಕಮಿವ ಬಂಧನಾನ್ ಮೃತ್ಯೋರ್ಮುಕ್ಷೀಯ ಮಾಮೃತಾತ್ ಓಂ ತ್ರ್ಯಂಬಕೈಯ ಜಾಮಹೇ ಸುಗಂಧಿಂ ಪುಷ್ಟಿವರ್ಧನಂ ಉರ್ವಾರುಕಮಿವ ಬಂಧನಾನ್ ಮೃತ್ಯೋರ್ಮುಕ್ಷೀಯ ಮಾಮೃತಾತ್ ಓಂ ತ್ರ್ಯಂಬಕೈಯ ಜಾಮಹೇ ಸುಗಂಧಿಂ ಪುಷ್ಟಿವರ್ಧನಂ ಉರ್ವಾರುಕಮಿವ ಬಂಧನಾನ್ ಮೃತ್ಯೋರ್ಮುಕ್ಷೀಯ ಮಾಮೃತಾತ್ ಓಂ ತ್ರ್ಯಂಬಕೈಯ ಜಾಮಹೇ ಸುಗಂಧಿಂ ಪುಷ್ಟಿವರ್ಧನಂ ಉರ್ವಾರುಕಮಿವ ಬಂಧನಾನ್ ಮೃತ್ಯೋರ್ಮುಕ್ಷೀಯ ಮಾಮೃತಾತ್ ಓಂ ತ್ರ್ಯಂಬಕೈಯ ಜಾಮಹೇ ಸುಗಂಧಿಂ ಪುಷ್ಟಿವರ್ಧನಂ ಉರ್ವಾರುಕಮಿವ ಬಂಧನಾನ್ ಮೃತ್ಯೋರ್ಮುಕ್ಷೀಯ ಮಾಮೃತಾತ್ ಓಂ ತ್ರ್ಯಂಬಕೈಯ ಜಾಮಹೇ ಸುಗಂಧಿಂ ಪುಷ್ಟಿವರ್ಧನಂ ಉರ್ವಾರುಕಮಿವ ಬಂಧನಾನ್ ಮೃತ್ಯೋರ್ಮುಕ್ಷೀಯ ಮಾಮೃತಾತ್ ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ 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 See, Mahadev Mahi became very important today. I figured the whole thing. I just switched on to her, sir, your face. I thought I should tell the meaning of the mantra. I just went off. I was gone.
How many times have you recited this mantra? 17,000.
No. No. 9 times. When?
Oh, he has been reciting this.
He said, he's recited
17,000.
That's fine. That's excellent. It's still, it's not a waste of time. It's a good karma. It's good for the soul which has departed. It's good for the person who's chanted, who's still alive. It's good for both. It's good for the house where we chanted. It's good for the people who heard it. It's good for the people who really, it is a mantra.